Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jan, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the Visiting Monk Program. Welcome, Jan.
Hi, Jan. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks for being with us. You actually quite recently returned from an extended stay at the monastery.
Yeah. I think it was mid-October to mid-November. Yeah. So part daylight savings and part not.
Exactly. That's always a big moment. Yeah. And so, you know, you spoke quite a bit about how powerful it was for you. So we thought it might be fun for you to tell us a little bit about that so that other folks in the Sangha could hear what that experience is like.
Yeah, I know. I was giving it some, just sort of seeing what came back as in thinking about talking about it today. And there's just so much. I think the main thing, it just seems like doing it, just the decision to do it was such a gift to the being. And the fact that it's offered, that it's there, that there is a structure set up for us to do it, is the another part of the gift. So it just everything in the program, well, I don't know, what do we call that, in the Visiting Monk program, is set up with kindness and compassion. At least that's what I saw. That was my experience. And so it was really obvious when conditioning came up, when I became identified there, or, I mean, I wouldn't even realize it, and then seeing how there was resistance and getting to just see so much through that. I mean, that was the whole idea. To face and transcend karma, step at a time.
So, because there's something about the length of time, isn't there, that it's different than being on retreat, coming here for that period of time. You know, we talk about how conditioning can kind of hang out, lay low for about 3 days, which is why we always do our retreats for at least four, right? So we can't survive.
Yeah.
It has to kind of show its hand. But, you know, when you go beyond a week, I mean, you're really starting to get into, you know, all the stuff that we tend to deal with in our day-to-day lives. Coming out.
And I think the time is really, well, for me, it just seemed really essential. There was huge, you know, big resistance to doing that for all kinds of reasons.
Sure.
And yet the heart just knew this is what I wanted to do. This is what I needed to do right, you know, this year. And I had done a similar, before the program was officially set up, 2 weeks on retreat. And that was great. But this, there was something about doing a month, and also the difference in the structure because of there is more support now. I mean, in the, I'll just mention a few of were so helpful. The daily, during the week, there's the daily process text that you send and then receive guidance.
Yep.
And then there was a 30-day retreat, and there was support for that. And, well, the encouragement to do it to begin with, and then support for it. And, gosh, having groups 3 times a week, I just thought it was, I mean, what it got me to do is be more diligent now that I'm home in taking advantage, you know, whether you're, if you're a monthly donor, having access to the group recordings and that kind of thing, so that I have it at home. Now that I'm here, I can still take it, you know, it's not the same, but it's huge support.
That's a great point. Yeah, because, you know, again, but something conditioning wants to do to people is to set up the duality of, well, you can practice when you're at the monastery, sure, but not when you're not at the monastery. And so to use the program in exactly the way you're describing, which is that you really wanted to give yourself that gift. And as you say, conditioning went crazy, of course. No way, I'm on to me, and I can't do that, all the things I'm going to have to. But just trusting the heart, nope, I'm going to do it. And then finding a way to do that, coming here, using it as an opportunity to deepen your practice that you then carry with you back into your day-to-day life.
Yeah, and if you do, I mean, from my experience, taking advantage of the time for just that, to deepen practice, there's no way that it can't carry over when I go home. I mean, now my commitment, part of my commitment is to continue the 30-day retreats, because while I was there, I accumulated a small list of things I wanted to focus on that had come up that I had to face.
Yeah.
And it was just so helpful. So to do that, and then listening to the recordings of the of group there on a more regular scheduled basis. So it's setting up more of a schedule for myself that's supportive. Not that I didn't before, but that
real,
schedule
that is.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Jan. I didn't hear that you were. Please finish your sentence.
Well, just that it there's more I want in that schedule that I want to be. Yeah, because I know how important it is to how I want to live. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That is really one of the things that monastic life and retreat really too highlights for us, is how supportive a schedule is. And you know, the idea from conditioning is that a schedule is restrictive. You know, I mean, I want to just be able to be in the moment, right, and do what feels right in the moment, right? Which is code for, you know, go unconscious and have conditioning make the decisions for me. But to have a schedule that's done from the heart with the mentor, you know, that sets out what I know really supports me, what I actually want in my life, then it's so supportive when the resistance does come up, which it will for all of us. It just does.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Then we don't have to have a conversation about it. Well, no, I agreed to the schedule, and that's what I'm going to do now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely that. And for me, my 30-day retreat was to strengthen the relationship with the mentor. I mean, not that it wasn't there before, but, oh, my gosh, that that was so big as part of the outcome of the whole experience, because when I hit those really hard times during the month up against, you know, conditioning, the mentor was right there. It was right there, and you know, it's not easy. It's not easy. So the support and knowing that you have it within yourself, along with Sangha, is huge. So it was really helpful.
Thank you for underlining that point too. That it isn't easy in the sense of exactly what you pointed at, which is that we do something like that, you know, set out a time in our lives, an extended time where we're going to go practice and focus completely on practice. What's going to happen is we're going to face all the things there are to face. And they are going to come up, especially because, you know, in the structure of the schedule of the monastic life, you know, there's a lot of working meditation, and there are dishes, and there's cooking, and there, you know, there's a whole array of what are at least closer to sort of our everyday activities than, say, being on retreat, where someone is doing all the cooking for you, and you maybe don't even have to do any dishes, and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's really designed to be much more like our day-to-day lives, even though, you know, the structures are different, of course. You know, we're in silence and all of those things. But the activities are similar. And so it really gives us the opportunity to come up against the things that we come up against in our daily lives and to be able to actually look at them. And, as you say, have the support of the group discussions and the structures of, you know, what we have here at the monastery to be able to look at those. And it is hard. But that's the nature of practice. It's hard because conditioning is coming at us with everything it comes at us with. But to do it with all the support of people who are also doing that full time is incredible.
Yeah. Well, and I guess just to clarify, I mean, it's hard. Anything where there, it's so worth it. I mean, there's no question.
Yeah.
And you know that going into it. I mean, we're going into it to see what keeps us from having complete freedom, or, you know, what gets in the way. And so that's the hard part. I mean, conditioning is the hard part. But what's on the other side of that, there's no question. That's why we go.
Yeah.
That's you know, why we practice. And so it was, pretty amazing in that way.
Yeah, I love the way you put that. We go to see all the things that keep us from being free.
Yeah. But what was interesting to me is that the first week, it's like, ugh.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Because you forget. I mean, you get, and at Sherry in group one day, she said, well, you know, actually, this is what's going on all the time. You just really don't get a chance to see it as clearly. And when she said that, it was such a relief. It was such a relief because then I could just take it in stride with the whole thing and know, yes, that's why I'm here. Yep. That's why I'm here to see that.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And again, you know, then we can take that right back into our day-to-day lives. And then, you know, whatever comes up in our daily lives that we don't want or I don't like that or whatever it is, and then we can go, right, okay, this is practice. This is what I'm here to see.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's one other thing. For me, what was also so wonderful about the whole experience is just having so much time to see everything as process. I mean, we talk about that all the time, and everything's geared toward that. But everything is so simple. You know, there are no distractions. There are no distractions. You know, it's all meditation, working or sitting or whatever we're doing. And so the opportunity to see everything as a process, I just so appreciated. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I just had this image, Jan, as you were saying that, you know, something like a Where's Waldo would be a good image of it, right? So one of those pages where everything looks all the same and it's all mushed together and you're trying to pick out the Waldos, right? But it's hard to do because it's all just kind of in there with this big mush. And I just had this image, as you were saying that, of what happens at the monastery is that all the background is stripped away. And so then this Waldo is standing there in, you know, stark relief. You know, there it is. And it feels like it's everywhere suddenly, but it's always everywhere. It's just that it's hidden in plain sight amongst everything else.
And that's amazing that you said that there it is, because I actually got to the point where I think it felt like it was a mentor pointing it out. There it is. There it is again.
Yep.
There it is. And it was more comical and a relief than, oh, my gosh,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
Everything is, as you said, stripped away so we can see it. And that's the gift in it. That's the gift in doing it, you know.
Yeah.
The retreat, I mean.
Yeah. And we got to hand it over to Michael and Sherry, but I want to say one more thing, which is that, and it's a tremendous gift for practice and the monastery in particular, that people do choose to do it, because just someone coming with that level of sincerity and willingness, you know, to be here for a month and to offer their practice to the community is a tremendous gift, and really, really does the whole Sangha supported in that way. Because, you know, and then a practical piece of it is that we've got 320 acres that we're maintaining for the practice. And so for people to come and be willing to spend a month to help us do that, it's just such a gift. So.
Yeah, and just a quick one on the other side of that, it wouldn't be possible for anyone to do it if it wasn't the whole Sangha supporting it, the place and the.
Exactly. It's such a circle, isn't it? Yeah.
Really.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Jan, thank you so much. That was really fun to hear about your experience.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jen. It was great.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jan. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. I get confused about good afternoon versus good evening versus good night.
What is that? I thought about him earlier. Who's that? Truman. Truman Show. You know, you say them all, and then you're covered.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, okay, well, here's what I want to say.
Tell me.
That was one of the most brilliant things I've ever listened to. I absolutely loved it. I know Ashwini is listening to this show, and I think there has to be a place on the website for that. If people want to know about the Visiting Monk Program, then that's the conversation they should listen to. Because if somebody doesn't get it from that, and if somebody doesn't, you know, kind of want to drop everything they're doing in order to have that experience, well, then I don't understand that. And along with that, so, you know, Jan is a householder. You know, she had to leave all of the things that everybody has going in the world in order to come and do that. And in the East, the Far East, not, you know, not the Eastern Seaboard, it's understood that people do that on a regular basis, like once a year. They leave everything aside, and they go devote themselves wholeheartedly to their spiritual practice. And it's understood by everybody that that is a gift to everybody. So as Jan and Jen were saying, you know, it's a tremendous gift to Sangha, right? So people come in, they come for a month, and they practice there. Jan mentioned if somebody is a monthly donor, they have access to recordings that are made. And so you hear the monks. And then you also hear the visiting monks, you know, the people who come there for a period of time, which sparks a different conversation for everybody and goes out into the whole Sangha, right? The monks are kind of sparked because there's new blood, new enthusiasm, new, just an energy that kind of fires everybody up. It's just so good for everybody. And then, as Jan says, you know, she comes back to her life, and everybody in her life benefits from what she has done, right? So then that comes back into the world, gift there, just gift in every direction. And so I'm really hoping that this does inspire some folks to do that for themselves, because, of course, the first gift is the one we receive for ourselves when we make that kind of effort, that kind of commitment. And I am quite lit up, as perhaps you can tell.
I can tell. Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great to have those win-win-win situations all around.
Oh, it's wonderful. And, you know, if our Sangha increasingly takes that on, you know, that's what we do. That's kind of our vision for the monastery, is to have people coming in around the year and bringing their energy and enthusiasm and insight and awareness and clarity, the depth of their practice, to that place, to those people who are there, and that's how practice continues to be sustained and to grow. Because if it's just a little tiny group of people out there at the end of a dirt road trying to keep this going, well, they're going to get tired. And so it really is up to all of us to make our way back, as we say, to the mothership with some regularity and make our contribution to sustaining and growing practice at that level. So it's very exciting.
Yes. Yeah, that is. That is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, again, this is a clear lab launch. You know, we all think we're too busy. You know, we have too many obligations. We've got, you know, I've got all this stuff going on. I can't, and yet, as I'm fond of pointing out to people, you know, the moment we die, all of those issues cease to be relevant. And so a good practice for what's really important to us in life is to say, okay, for the next month, I'm going to be dead. And then the beautiful part of that is, you know, I get to have all of the attention and awareness that usually gets spread out over all of this other stuff. I get to have all of that for my spiritual practice and training. And then, again, I go back, I come alive again, re-enter everything, and I'm different, and everything is different. And if I make a regular commitment to do that, oh, my gosh, the profound effect that we can have on everything.
Yes. Hmm? Yeah. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's glorious. What else is going on, Michael?
A lot of stuff is going on. We have a guidance day coming up, and this is an opportunity to look at anything about your awareness practice one-on-one with an experienced practitioner.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Sign up now. Sign up now for your phone appointment on Saturday, December 19th.
Beautiful.
And you, Sherry, and Ashwini will offer two fun and enlightening opportunities in the San Francisco Bay Area this month.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, December 12th, you'll lead a workshop on the Big Bamboozle in Los Altos, California. And on Sunday, December 13th, you and Ashwini will appear at the Open Circle Center in Berkeley, California.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm.
Looking forward to both of those. It's funny. You know, that's the one part of the country where we rarely do anything.
What's that?
The Bay Area? The one where we live. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're in North Carolina and we're in Pennsylvania and we're, you know, well, at New Year's, of course, we're in Menlo Park. But for that kind of event, we rarely do anything in the Bay Area anymore. So I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Both of them. And coming up at the end of the month, celebrate a year of practice and welcoming the new year at the annual New Year's Retreat, which is December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This popular retreat features meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, delicious vegetarian food, and free time to spend in nature on the center's spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm. With those beautiful trees that I always mention.
Yes, mm-hmm. indeed. And this last one, I think, requires a little drum roll, please. And that is that the 2016 calendar is published and now available on the Living Compassion website.
My goodness gracious, you mean I can lay out my whole 2016 of awareness practice?
Yes, you can.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I think it's a very fun year coming up.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. And one of those opportunities is the year-long retreat starting January 16th. So don't miss the free video workshop with you, Sherry, that kicks off the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all there.
And people need to sign up for that, right? And then isn't it that kind of thing where we ask people to only sign up if they're really committed because we only can take so many people? Is that, am I remembering that correctly?
That's my understanding of it, yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, and so all of and more at schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1 on your phone. And to focus on one topic in about 5 minutes would be great, since the queue is very, very long.
We will try to be responsible.
Okay, wonderful.
All right.
Good. Ready to get started?
Ready.
Okay. First caller, you are live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anne from New York calling.
Well, hello, Anne. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm having some interesting things with my egocentric karmic self-hate, but I'm doing pretty well not listening to it, but it's still
good. Don't own it, okay? That's the first thing, okay? It's not yours. Just say it's that stuff that got attached at some point when I wasn't looking.
Yeah.
Like a bad neighbor. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I do pretty well, but then it somehow something will trigger it. Well, of course, something triggers it, and then I'm there like in 2 seconds. It's astounding to me.
Yes.
Still, after all this time, it's astounding how quickly it just boom.
Yes. Knee jerk.
Hmm?
Yes. Knee jerk. We are so profoundly conditioned. Yes, and it's impressive, isn't it? It's impressive how it operates and
it's
how
so skilled.
Well, it's kind of it's a habit, right? So it's kind of like you know, the typical biting my fingernails, and I've been doing it since longer than I can remember, and and then realizing I'm doing it and trying to stop. It's like, oh my gosh, it has a life of its own. It just does what it does, and I don't even know it. And then I come to, and I, you know, up to my first knuckle, and I feel terrible, and I can't believe it. And I recommit, and then it does it to me again. And, you know, and if we don't have a sense of humor about it, it becomes a really brutal process.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I think I've been practicing long enough that, and oh, and also the virtual meditation, so wonderful, 3 times a week. It's great. It's really helping me through this. But
Good.
Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful. I get up in the morning and I do it. I did it anyway, so I'm real happy. It's really, really helping through this phase. But it, and what's astounding to me is it really, the content doesn't matter. It's just the fact that I get hooked on it. Like it could be anything, whatever the habit is or was. Certain ones are so ingrained, like you said, it's a knee-jerk.
And the thing is, I think it was in the last email class that that this point was really made. And that is the importance of us realizing that getting snatched by that stuff is as much a part of our awakening as being centered is. So we have a lot of conditioning that says, well, you're a good person and you're doing well and everything is going great because you're centered. You know, you're relaxed and you're present and all those things. But now you got snatched, you got identified, you went into a conditioned place. Oh my God, that's terrible. No. They are equally important in our awakening. Right? One we get to practice with when the waters are calm, and the other we get to practice with when, you know, we're in severe storms.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess what I saw, I was looking for, the word positive. I was looking for positive opportunities to see what this was pointing at. And it really, even the, I was able to see that this habit that I had, I've had conditioned up in all this time, and I see that it used to trigger anger, which is what it's trying to still do, except now I'm able to see that, it's not dropping in what I saw the other day about it, but it was really compassionate and full instead of closed and small.
Yes.
Which is anger.
And so you get to
that
see.
Word. So I can
you get to
I,
see
I,
how
I,
you're changing.
Yeah. And so even at that, I'm glad for the opportunity that it trying to show up again and again, and I'm like, no, I'm going to go do this instead, or no. And it feels different. Like, it's nice to know that, oh, yeah, I used to always come, this habit I used to always come from anger, and now I see that it feels so...
I don't always, and what I used to come from has changed.
Yeah. Yeah,
right? I'm different, and it's different. Right? Because I'm no longer calling it anger and resisting it and not wanting it to be there, but being identified with it and acting out of it and feeling bad over it. Okay, so as that changes over time, as you practice with it, as you bring more awareness to it, then what you begin to see is, well, that's just energy.
When I'm going through it myself, like going through it, and I have friends asking what's going on with me, and I don't really want to, I don't know what words to use about it, but I'm definitely putting off an air of like pushback. How can I do it? It feels, I don't know if that's, I don't know what it feels like, what it feels like. It feels like I'm not in I'm letting it take me over if I'm in relationship with the anger instead of the person who's in the room with me.
That's right. That's
other than myself.
And that's how you see through the karma. That's what you're doing. You're bringing awareness to something that used to live in unawareness. So when you weren't aware of it like this, it just controlled you. But now you're bringing awareness to it, and you're seeing all of these subtleties and nuances, and you're changing as you see it more clearly, and it's changing because you're no longer holding it in place in the same way through resistance. Did you get a sense of that?
Yeah, so I kind of was like, okay, I'm just going to feel angry, but is that, what my mind thought was like, I want to give at least space to be there because I see it. I don't want to hide it.
Yes.
I don't want to, but it just was oozing from me, I felt.
Well, do you have a recording and listening practice?
I'll say no right now. I did, but not right now. It's not
okay,
every
well,
day.
You might want to you might want to take it up again, because here's the beauty of that.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to see through this thing that's always been called anger and that has controlled you. And so you're going along and you get snatched, right? And suddenly, right? And you pick up this recording device and you just let it rip. Okay, you just say it all and feel it all and go through it all and right? And you're watching. You're watching the whole process. Right? And then you listen back to it. Yeah?
Yes.
And then you wait for the insights. And so here you are, you're having your own little awareness workshop there. Your friends don't have to be subjected to it, right? Because it doesn't have anything to do with them. They just worry about you and feel bad and whatever people get going about it. You're the mentor. You're having your little awareness workshop over here. You're being transformed. No problem for anybody. So you get to have all of your feelings, whatever they are. You get to have them, feel them, express them, see them, and not believe them or think that you are them. You get to practice being the conscious awareness that is aware of all of that happening with Anne.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with Anne. Okay, so what I was trying to do is give it just space to be with, because if I said I'm not going to feel angry, then that's resistance, and it's going to come up
somewhere else.
So
that's right. That's why you get out that recorder.
Saying I'm angry, or just so somewhere in my head, I'm not supposed to be angry is in my head, but
that's right.
It will just eventually drop away because I won't have that habit anymore. But to get through the habit, I have to go through the angry. Or the energy
And you have to end the story, the whole story. So underneath that anger, you'll find sadness and disappointment and fear and hurt feelings and a ton of stuff. And you'll go through all of that. And pretty soon, really, truly, before you know it, it'll just be all right for you to feel however you feel. When you're feeling something, you just talk it over with the recorder. You listen to it. You get clear about it. You embrace it. You go on with your life.
Yeah.
It has no power.
It's like
over
when you're a little kid and it falls. It's like when you're a little kid and those things happen because you don't know what. You just get up and go on.
That's exactly right.
You feel
right.
it.
That's exactly right.
And then you move on.
Yep.
You move through it.
You feel it. You express it. It's over. It's
yeah.
like a storm cloud.
Right.
Comes over, big rain, passes by, sunny
yeah.
skies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. yeah, exactly so. But what we were taught is you can't feel that way. You can't, yeah, you can't mm-hmm. say that. Now you can't act that way. Now stop it. You shouldn't be. And so we repress it. Now we have a way
mm-hmm.
to just let it all be there. Let it be what it is. Let it pass through. Boom. Freedom.
Boom. Okay. Thank you. I've gone way over.
You are
so Thank
welcome.
You so much. It's so wonderful. Everything that you and Michael and the everybody does, so grateful for the magic
you.
Of the internet and the phone and you bringing yourself to the world. So thank you.
Isn't it just, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, if it
yeah.
were not that long ago, we couldn't be having this experience. So it really is, it's
know.
Quite miraculous what it's like
yeah.
now for practice and Sangha. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling us. Thank you for talking about this.
Thank you.
Thank you for practicing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you all.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
This year's theme is Training to Live in This Here Now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jody from Atlanta.
Well, hello, Jody. How are you doing?
Hi.
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Good. Good to hear from you. What's going on?
It's so funny. I had this feeling that I would be on tonight. Things are going okay. I've been pretty disconnected from Sangha as of late. So I have been feeling no urge to necessarily call because then I feel bad because I haven't been as engaged. So I figured I would call and
put that
check
correct.
In and try to try to reconnect. It's amazing
yeah.
how when there's some distance there, everything I can make everything wrong. You know, and can make the whole practice
yeah.
and all the everything, not everything. I mean, I'm still meditating, doing some other stuff, but I can just find things to kind of pick apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't, but those
yeah.
voices in your head can, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. They can start up a story pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I went through... a challenging time this summer where I was having to take medicine that was kind of affecting my thinking. And so over the past couple of weeks coming back out of that, it's just been interesting to kind of try to rebalance a little bit. And just recently looking at, what I would, because last spring I was feeling really kind of free and serene and more at peace, and I think doing more work or being more engaged with Sangha was a piece of that. There are a couple other things that kind of dropped off too. And it was just sort of this longing to kind of reconnect and not, even though there are so many ways to do it, feeling like I didn't know how, if that makes sense.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. It can be such a gradual process. You know, mm-hmm. That I don't even notice it. It's like, and that's true with so many things, right? So I have a really strong exercise program, and then something happens. You know, I have a cold or I have the flu or whatever, and by the time I come back from that, I don't actually realize that I haven't come back from that. But I'm just not exercising like I was, and I'm not eating that well. And I'm not, and it's just this slow slide. And of course, the voices are right there to encourage us in that slide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when we get far enough out there, they'll start. Sometimes their timing isn't perfect, but they'll start with, "Well, you know, your life really isn't. You're really out of shape, you know, and your diet is off, and God, you've gained weight, and." Right, and now it's your fault, and now we're on a program of beating you back into some kind of shape. But instead, what we can do with practice is just, okay, and come back to practice there.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the things is I've been challenged, well, egocentric karmic conditioning maybe has been challenged with the recording and listening practice since it's come up. I mean, I think it started coming up around the same time I was getting engaged with the Sangha. And I've always had this sort of voice in my head that's very skeptical for whatever reasons about why it can or can't work for me or whatever. And I had found that I was starting to do it some. I'm still not doing it as consistently as probably you might guide me to do, but was doing it more. And then now it's like you were just saying with the exercise, it feels almost like picking up 100-pound weight. It was like, oh, but I did this. And because then I was finally getting to it, but then this sort of life stuff happened, and I just did the recording that everything other than sort of my health kind of took backseat for a little while, my physical health. And so, yeah, it does. It feels like taking up the 100. It feels almost painful to think about trying to overcome the skepticism again to start recording and listening again.
Well, you know, since you already know the practice, it can be much easier than that. So you can just pick up that recorder, and you can basically tell the mentor what you just told me. You know, this is what's going on. And this is, you know, not like the deepest part of you, the authenticity that animates you doesn't know what's been going on with you. But sometimes it's helpful if we say it out loud in full sentences. And so you just talk that through. And this is how I'm feeling, and this is what I'm up against at this point. And so then you could ask a question like, do you think it's hopeless? Do you think it's that I'm just doomed never really to get back in shape again, and never to have a deep awareness practice. Is there a possibility for me? And of course, the answer is going to be a resounding yes, yes. In fact, we don't have to look to the future. You're already there. Right? You're already here. Yeah, and that can. That practice right there can establish. It's like, you know, you have a best friend, or I don't know if this happened to you, but to a lot of people it does. You know, say your mother, you just love your mother, or you just love your father, and then you become a teenager and they, you know, grow horns and become evil forces and that sort of thing. And then you get to the point where you've moved past all of that, and you're back to seeing them for who you knew they were originally. You with me on this one, or have I picked bad examples?
I think so. I'm not sure where you're going with it, but I'm following you.
Okay. And so when we get back to that place, you know, we don't have to actually waste a lot of time with what's happened in between. We can just be glad to be together again.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the same way with the authenticity that animates you. You know, it It knows what you've been going through. Your heart knows where you've been and what's been happening with you. It, you know, only ego makes cases and holds grudges. Your heart doesn't. Life doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing real in life that's going to say, well, Jody, I'm sorry. You know, you were gone. Now, no, freedom, love, joy, compassion, kind, nope, not available to you. You know, that's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
But what we have to do, in essence, is ask.
Hmm.
You know, we have to make ourselves vulnerable in that way. We have to open our hearts to receive what's always there, waiting and available for us.
Hmm.
That's the way we choose life instead of ego.
Yeah. Hmm. No, that's great. That's great, and I'm so glad that I was able to get through tonight, because I just, yeah, that's exactly what I needed to hear.
I'm glad, too, and I'll tell you what, as far as I can tell, there are just no accidents.
Yeah. And I'm really glad you're always here, as you were just saying, here, for when I can let my, like, I'm glad that ego didn't talk me out of, egocentric karma conditioning didn't talk me out of, you know, pressing star six, because I think
that's right.
That can be a 1,000-pound weight as well at times.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But you're here. You're ready.
Yeah.
Your heart is open. Yeah. And, you know, then everything supports that.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I'm going to miss the New Year's retreat this year, I believe. And so I'm going to have to look for you on the East Coast later on this spring when you guys are back here.
All right. Well, if you change your mind, though, you know where to find us.
I know. I'm thinking I might, so we'll see what happens.
So we should keep a little bedroom open for you?
Maybe all a little one, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you,
Michael.
Jody. Take good care. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jody. Wow, we have some amazing people on the phone to share. Just one.
Don't we?
Yep.
Aren't as big as all outdoors.
Yep, brings tears to my eyes. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Well, hello, Lisa.
Hi, Sherry. I'm so excited that I finally got on.
You've dialed a few times and it hasn't worked?
Oh, well, every single Tuesday that I've been available to call in the last 2 months, I've called and it hasn't worked out.
Mm.
So, finally.
Well, I'm glad we made it tonight. How are you?
Good. Well, I'm doing great, and I can ditto everything in the good news update about visiting monk program,
mm-hmm.
for sure, having done that a while ago. And it wasn't easy coming back, though. I had a really tough reentry into the atmosphere of my house. The good news is I got to practice with accepting all of the stuff that conditioning wanted to label as bad or wrong or shouldn't happen or, you know, we should be beyond this. So there was a lot of work that I've been able to do with that happened and we move on. And that happened and, okay, I'm going to get right back on the cushion.
That's right.
Instead of, right.
And
right.
I would guess that that's one of the things that being at the monastery really supports. It's, yeah, yep, there's all this stuff. Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we just go on, right? We see what we see, and we get what we get, and we move on, because there will be more good lessons down the road or right around the corner in the next 30 seconds.
Right, yeah, the next 10 seconds maybe. here, and I think Jen said that it was something about in stark relief, so things at the monastery just really, it's easier to see it in some ways because it's not hidden behind all the stuff of regular old life that gets, that's harder for me to see it when I'm, when, because it seems so real.
Yes.
Oh, this is so important.
Yes.
You know, this this homework that I've got to help my daughter finish, and she's upset, and this whole thing, and she said this, and I did this, and oh my gosh, right? And it seems so vital and important that I only pay attention to the, maybe the negative part of it or the feeling bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And at the monastery,
that's such a good point.
There.
Yes, because you know. Even conditioned mind, after a while, cannot convince us that those people are doing what they're doing to get me, right?
Yeah.
The monastery, the monks are not planning, getting together at night, planning ways to mess me up, right? That's just not happening. And yet, in our regular lives with family and jobs and everything that's going on, we can kind of fall for that because it seems like it's true, right? Well, then why would he do that? Why would she say that? What?
Yeah.
But if
that,
and conditioned mind is just along. And so it is tricky to apply what we learned there, that this, it's not them, it's not me, it's conditioned mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the secret to the whole thing, isn't it? And seeing, again, at the monastery, it's easy to see that because this thing is just, you know, going overtime nuts. And then we get home in the land of our beliefs and assumptions, the land of, no, but this is really real, and trying to convince ourselves that it's conditioned mind that's the problem rather than him or her, it's a harder sell, as we say.
Yes. And one of the things that has really helped me is to remember that little saying of, and I'll probably forget exactly how it goes, but if I'm suffering, then I'm not accepting. And there's something I'm not accepting. And if
I'm choosing something over ending suffering.
Right. And then if I'm accepting something, then there's not suffering in that because I'm accepting it's no matter what I accept. I can accept anything and there's no suffering in that. So I've been able
to
catch myself. Oh, I'm suffering. Oh, this is awful. Oh, wait a minute. There must be something I'm not accepting here. Oh, what am I not accepting? Okay.
Yes.
I'm not accepting that. I'm thinking that I should be this other way and I'm not. So I'll just accept that I'm the way I am. And
that I don't even actually know what that is.
Whatever
if I'm
that
not
is,
listening to conditioned mind, I have no idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's really, and that's something I was working on when I was at the monastery, is a lot of work with acceptance. And that has really been applicable to every 10 seconds at home. So
go ahead.
No, it was just such a beautiful experience. And if my life was in a different setup, it would be something that I would do like they do, like you said, in the East. I would do it every year if I had a different setup. And when I do have a different setup in my home life, then it's something I want to do more often. But it's certainly extremely valuable to everybody.
Yeah.
To protect.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. 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 Because every time, you know, those edges get worn down a little bit more and a little bit more. And I was thinking when you were talking about, you know, for a while, the thing of whatever, right?
Yeah.
You know, something happens and the response is whatever. And it really is probably the most intelligent response that we can have to conditioning, right? Because that's the one making all the trouble, right? Well, you mm-hmm. this and you shouldn't, and she this, and if you that, and well, it's your fault that he, right? And if we develop that, whatever, you know, that is such a giant step toward acceptance. I can't engage with that. I can't get involved with that. I don't know, right? So I am just coming back here to this moment, and I am accepting everything that is, including the knot in my stomach, or the, you know, the whatever is going on, and that's the best I can do.
Yeah, and seeing it as a process and the best I can do rather than needing to be a perfect.
That's
needing
right.
to be something that
That's
I
right.
have, I have this. I don't need to have
well,
this. I just need to practice this.
That's right. And you know, Lisa, to be completely accepting is about as perfect as we're going to get as human beings. Because that idea that we are taught by conditioned mind of perfection is truly
mm-hmm.
only there to torture us. There really is no such thing as
conditioned
mind version of perfect. No, no. It's just set up to make you feel bad. And so if we realize that acceptance of ourselves opens a giant door to accepting others and accepting situations and accepting life as it is, again, with the understanding that we have no idea what that is, right? Because we're looking at it from our perspective. And so
mm-hmm.
what the big picture, what whole mind is has going on, we have no idea and never will. But having that kind of acceptance is as close to perfect as a human being can be. Because what we are saying is, thy will be done. I'm not in control here. I'm not in charge. I am in service. I'm an instrument, you know, as Francis, make me an instrument mm-hmm. of your peace, right? And that's what I'm going to do. That's what my focus is going to be. That's the very best I can do. And when I get information about how to do it better, I promise I'll do it better. Right now, this is the very best that I can do, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this.
Wow, that is just so wonderful to hear all of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in addition to everything else, it's wonderful modeling for your children.
Yes, and I've had so many breakthroughs of, having different relationships with them, and not that it has been smooth, but there's just a different. There has been able to be a different feel to it after the initial. Like I said, the initial reentry was difficult, but since then, just a different focus and being able to move past difficulties and move on.
And acknowledging
have them be great,
that we're all doing the best that we can do.
We're all doing
the best that we can do. Just acknowledging that's, and you know, again, for conditioned mind, that's just, you know, new age horse bucky or a fast way not to take responsibility or whatever, but it's not. It really is true. No matter how bizarre or even heinous somebody's version of the best they can do is, it remains the best they can do. We don't like it, especially when it's us, right? We would like we would like something different to be happening. But the reality is, we are always doing the best that we can do. And so if we stay open in the way that we're talking about, if our focus is on being accepting and having the most open heart that we can have, then our best will get better. It will. But trying
Yes, and I've experienced
perfect,
that.
Yes, trying to be perfect, being beaten when we're not, trying to live up to standards, trying to coexist with that hateful voice in the head. No, we'll just, our best will continue to get worse, because it'll still be our best, but it'll continue to get worse, because that's just never going to lead to anything but suffering.
Well, that was my experience, having that and then accepting it and doing my best and not taking things personally and not taking a beating for it and just accepting it, that gets me out of the hole. That leads to doing my best a little more skillfully, maybe.
Yes. It gives us more possibilities.
Yes. So, deep gusto for everyone. The monastery and to you for having me there in September, and I'll leave the phone to somebody else.
All right, it's great to hear from you.
All right,
all right.
You, Sherry.
Take care,
Thanks,
Lisa.
Michael. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. Amen, sisters is about the only thing that comes to mind. Sherry. That was great.
And you know, Lisa had one of the truly memorable visiting monk experiences. She was there for the great evacuation of 2015.
Wow.
So when you're a visiting monk, all kinds of things, you know, there's just no telling what you might encounter.
Wow. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And we have time for one more caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Rochelle in Charlotte.
Well, hey, hello. Rochelle. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. I just wanted to check in with you and let you know I'm still here.
Good.
Listening and practicing as best I can.
That's right. Doing your best.
Doing my
good.
Best. And I tell
all
you.
All right.
Pardon me? It has been just such a wonderful experience. And I wonder whether it is maybe it's where I am in practice, but I tell you, the quality of the support and the email classes and everything that's going on has been wonderful and seems like it's tailor-made for where I am in practice.
Oh, I hope everybody feels that way.
Oh, it is
wonderful.
Wouldn't
that be great?
Oh, this is wonderful. I tell you, just even listening, I mean, the visiting monk thing at the beginning and the last conversation and remembering when I was there visiting and that type of thing. Just the experience of it was so wonderful, and I do plan at some point or hope to visit again as a monk for a 3-week time period. The email class was awesome and really helped me kind of explore some energy things, and I appreciated all the feedback and the participation of everybody.
Good. I love email classes, but I thought that one was particularly fun. I don't know. I never know. I never know whether it's as much fun for other people as it is for me, but it seems like it. Seems like people really did, really did get being with the energy in a different way.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Most
good.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, what I used to attach all kinds of stories to and things really has to do a lot with energy. That class was very helpful. I also have the Bamboozle book, and my God, talk about something that seems like it was written exactly for me. And
doesn't it, Rochelle? Doesn't it tell you how exactly alike we all are?
It does. It really does. Because there are things that y'all have written in that book, the bamboozle, and just almost word for word of what I hear and what I fall for. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, it's not just me.
Yes.
This is not personal at all. And this conversation, this scam, this goes on for everyone.
I
really love how the book is set up, because what it's helped me to do is I like the assignments and the recording and listening each night. Because I have a recording and listening practice, but I got to the point where it needed to be kind of more current to where I am in practice. And so I needed more framework to put that on. And this is perfect. This is for all year long. And it's not just following the scam, but how to get out of the scam, out of the bamboo.
Yes.
And so
and that you get to work with it over such a long period of time, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So that by the time we get finished with those 4 weeks, I see this scam, right? It'll be hard for that one to fool me again.
Exactly. And it's recorded, and you kind of set your intention. I'm going to watch how and what distracts me. Then you record how it does that, and then you listen to it again, and you listen to it, and it really is a workbook. In fact, my copy, I haven't had it all that long, but it's got stickies all over it, and it's gotten worn already. That is a wonderful thing.
It's a good friend already.
Huh?
It's a good friend already.
It is. Well, you know, that making a change for good book, I mean, practically fell apart. It's been used so many times. And so I'm like, okay, this is like making a change for good on steroids. This is like the beefed up version. This isn't 30 days. This is a year. And I'm like,
right.
This is a wonderful thing.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And I really appreciated the November musing about how the mentor is not there to make you feel good, but to enhance your awareness. And that the goal is not to keep focusing on the process of what conditioning does to distract you. There's a point where you recognize what it does so you can drop it so that you can be aware and present. And it was so powerful, and it really hit. And that was kind of where I was, because I felt like all I'm doing is outing conditioning. And, you know, where did I go to next? I mean, I don't want to always feel like I'm watching conditioning and what it does. I seem like I'm tied to it. And so getting out of that loop and seeing what it does, dropping it so I can be present for life.
Boy, that's such an important point, isn't it? Because you're right. If we're not careful, we can just stay stuck forever with our eyes glued to karmic conditioning, which would make it very, very happy. But that's not where we want to live.
Exactly. And with my recording and listening practice, and I have a lot of recordings, and I have like a little graveyard, little recorders that have bitten the dust.
Me too.
But from years ago and practicing, a lot of that was learning about the process and identifying conditioning and ego and those types of things. But I'm ready to kind of weed that out of my garden and, enjoy, the flowers that I planted. And so it just all meshes so well together. And so I don't know whether the practice and that has changed, or whether I'm just at a different place in my practice and stuff. So it's hard to tell, but it all just seems to work very well, and it all seems to be tailored for me, which means it's just tailored for the Sangha. It's just tailored for all of us, I'm just very grateful for it and very excited about it.
I know exactly how you feel. And I often wonder that same thing. You know, just is all of this just happening for me, or is this happening for we must be all going together, because here we all are, right? And so it does feel as if we're just kind of evolving together in this giant, you know, that image that we use, the wheel of karma is, you know, going along and it's rolling over us, and we just, you know, we get up out from under it, and then it rolls over us again, and then that wheel comes to a stop, and we all begin to push it in the other direction, and, you know, now we're all going in a different direction, and we're actually pushing it. It's not rolling over us any longer, right?
Exactly.
And, yeah. So it does. Sangha feels like a giant Sangha expansion something. I don't know what it is, but I, too, adore it.
Oh, I adore it. The process is wonderful, and I'm not alone doing it. And
exactly.
You know, it is, you know, from reflective listening buddies to participants in the radio show to visiting monks to the retreats, to the email classes, to the recording, listening. I mean, it is just all supported for me to be present.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you went away. All of a sudden, it became very, very quiet. And so I go back to what you said when you first called in, which is, I'm letting you know that I'm here and I'm practicing. Did I get that right? I think that was right. Yeah.
Here and I'm practicing.
And that's it, right? I mean, that's what we're doing. We're, you know, we're in touch as much as we can be in touch, but we're all here and we're all practicing, and in the ways that we can, we're all supporting one another to practice, and it's just thrilling.
It is thrilling. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's wonderful to hear from you, my dear, and I am glad that we got to talk this evening.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Sherry. I appreciate it.
All right. You take good care of yourself.
You too.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle, and wow, it's truly amazing, Sherry. I feel like I'm the luckiest
person. It is. I swear, we're, you know, it's like some kind of a giant practice. I remember that little cartoon that Ashwini did for whatever it was on escape velocity, you know, reaching escape. You remember that little person on the rocket ship reaching escape velocity? And it feels like that's what's happening with the whole Sangha. So it really is marvelous, exciting, thrilling kind of a thing. And I'm grateful to you, sir, for being here every week, and grateful to everybody who is calling in and practicing and writing in and doing all the things that we're doing. It's marvelous.
Yep, sending it right back to you, Sherry. Thank you for everything.
All right. Well, thank you. And talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right. It's a deal. Good night.
Good night.